is The Bench.
The Bench
on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. John, Lance, and Dell with you now for the next couple of hours here on ESPN 97.5. Actually, 2.5 hours here on ESPN 97.5. And let's get going here.
You guys want to start with Lonzo Ball's initial trip into Madison Square Garden? That's the big hot news. With that and you and Dell's fight.
I am just sickened by every day we turn on ESPN here. And they disgust me. Not every day. But when you spend the whole first segment, oh my God. It's the second segment of Lonzo Ball.
I told you.
Oh my God. He had 18 points. James Harden had 80
the
last
first
night.
Rookie.
Who gives a rat's ass about these Kardashians? What is up with ESPN? Stop. And Del, well, there's two old guys complaining. No. If you, here's the thing about millennials. If you disagree with them, they just go right to, oh, you're old. No, how about this? How about journalism?
Or you're a hater.
Or entertainment.
You're a hater.
No.
Turn the channel.
No, I can't. I don't have a remote.
Why? You come in here every day and turn on the TV.
Well, because I want to watch, a sports show that will give me highlights.
What SportsCenter's,
Because I want to see some highlights of stuff.
What do you gain from SportsCenter every morning?
If they actually drop any kind of knowledge on you at all.
The answer is
absolutely not.
You think that panel is going to drop anything? You don't know anything?
Look at this. This is the second freaking... No, because they're top of the hour.
Why did they run it at the back of the hour?
Because they had boxing on until 6:44.
Oh.
So here's how stupid this is, though. Until 6:44. They had a boxing match from London on until 6:44. And so they did a 16-minute show, and now they're redoing the show. But the lead story was the whole first segment of Knicks and Lonzo Ball. Lonzo Ball versus the Knicks. And now they're redoing it because they're starting their show from the top. So they have to do it. And oh, my God. LeVar Ball is sitting in the front row and taking on Spike Lee, and it's just the worst television ever. I cannot tell you how, and you said it. It's just, and as a matter of fact, I watched in the hotel room the other night. You know those shows Tom Hanks produces, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s?
Yeah.
Oh, he produces those?
Yeah, he does those. Yeah, he's one of the main producers. He pays for it. I don't know how much he does. But they said, it was in the 90s, and they said, do you know what we found out here in the news is how the world changed? And one of the top things was Lorena Bobbitt. That if Dan Rather was on some other show, and he said, listen, we found out now that if you don't cover these salacious stories, then you don't get the ratings. And if you don't get the ratings, you don't stay on the air.
Yeah.
So it changed news in the 90s. And this is what it's become. It's become we have to watch 7 straight minutes of Lonzo and LeVar Ball.
And it was like this before. I mean, it was all Tebow all the time. Brett Favre, Pedro Gomez, Werder. What's his name? Werder. Ed Werder posted up outside of Brett Favre's house. Remember when... I was sitting right in that seat across there. We're like, is he going to? And we were making fun of it then. Like, is he going to Minnesota?
The Jen Sturger
when it was that? Like, where's Brett going to go? Is he coming out of retirement again? Johnny Manziel, all Johnny all the time. The first time we ever experienced it personally was over 10 years ago. Del, do you have any kind of way back music when we reminisce?
Yeah.
Do you have a... But it was Vince versus Reggie, where it was nonstop.
Oh, yeah.
It was in it. And to me, it fundamentally... changed sports talk for the worst because that's the first time that I remember being in a situation where one topic could go on and on
for
seemingly
months.
Forever. Because it wasn't just the lead up to the draft, which was a full, after the Rose Bowl, that was a full 4 months.
Yeah.
We had a 4 months of 4 hours a day, Vince and Reggie talk. Yeah. Mattress Matt called in, threatening to pull every dollar ever, you know, and all this stuff. And if
Jamie,
they didn't draft.
Jamie Rude shoots back. Well, we're not, you know, we're not drafting for Mattress Matt.
Yeah.
It was,
I mean, it was kind of, it was, and at first it was like fun to talk about this incredible run of Vince Young, and then everyone started to get super tired of it. Then they drafted Mario, and we had, time Reggie did something good,
The LeVar Ball, and the Lakers lost, but LeVar's so happy because Lonzo got 18.
Oh, if Lonzo averaged 29.
Oh, my God.
If he averaged 29-9.
Or 17
a game,
points, 8-6.
And they won four games, he wouldn't care. There's no way he'd care.
No.
He's like a fantasy owner. But it fundamentally changed our show, because then we had to hear about Vince literally the entire rookie season, because he was rookie of the year. And Reggie Bush ended up going to a Super Bowl, so we had to end up hearing about him. And it just fundamentally changed. But that was a nightmare. Like, you used to be able to talk about whatever topics.
Well, it's all been, you know, when did we spend 4 hours on Colin Kaepernick?
What about Texans?
You mean 6-10?
All Texans. Yeah, when it was all Texans. Well, I mean, I saw when we had my highest ratings at the other station, I had big bonus dollars. You know what we talked about? Johnny Manziel, because it was when he was coming out in the draft. Rockets, by the way, Rockets playoffs do great ratings wise.
Oh, yeah.
We killed it on Rockets playoffs. People do tune into Rockets. I think there's a belief that people don't listen or care about the Rockets or whatever. That's actually not accurate. There's a segment, there's a generation that is off of basketball, but the younger fans coming up are huge into basketball.
Well, but now that's during the playoffs. I'm sure that they did really, really well. I don't know. I never see the ratings, but I'm sure they did really well during the Astros. Because they had the Astros on the night before.
No question.
Yeah.
No question.
I'm sure that they did great.
Winning teams do well.
Yes, winning teams do well.
Winning teams do well.
Now, the Texans, it's all Texans all the time here, but, you know, we can't do that. We just can't. And then leave that to 6-10. That's what they do. I mean, right now, I'm sure they're talking about Jeff Allen or Greg Mance, and I'm happy for them. That's great. Good, fun radio. While we're talking.
Jeff Allen talk. Well, I mean. It's got to be fun.
I'm sure.
It's got to be a lot of fun.
Well, but here's the. I can't believe. And I'm old, Del, because I can't believe where this has gone
it's not because you're upset. It's because.
Tell them what you told them to do.
It's because you decided you don't have you can't change the channel.
I can't change the channel.
In this room, he literally
No,
can't.
But literally, he knows what's the
trust
deal.
Trust me, if I was at my house, I would change the channel.
Yeah, but you come in here every day, you spend plenty of time here, and you know what SportsCenter's about.
But,
you know what? You should have planned it, because, hey, they actually broadcast this game last night. Lonzo played relatively well. What are they going to feed me the next morning? This is what they do all the time.
But here's the deal, Del. How about if you actually have some backbone?
But why are you pretending this is
well, because this is because I'm disgusted. But if you want to know the truth, ESPN is the worldwide leader in sports coverage, in viewership and everything else, and this is what they become, and it's disgusting what they become.
I don't know how else to say, this is your You did this to yourself.
Well, wait a minute.
This is your fault.
But if I
this
go
is
to,
your fault.
Here's the problem. If I go to Fox,
you don't have to
it's,
go to Fox.
It's ESPN. It's ex-ESPN, and I got to watch Shannon and numbnuts, whatever is for Skip.
Skip.
Are you?
Oh my God! If I see him, I can't. I want to puke.
My
so
issue
I can't.
Is why do you feel the need to even watch? Because what you were talking about earlier, maybe I'll get some news. What is Jay Harris and Kevin Agandi?
Hold on for one
on
second. Let me tell you something right now. Every opportunity you get to talk about the Knicks and LeVar and Lonzo and LaMelo and LiAngelo and Lorenzo and LaMelia and LaQuanzo and all of the Ball family, you're going to do it because they make music to the ratings ears. I'm just here to do what people want me to do.
That's fine, Stephen A. But if you're coming to ESPN expecting to be informed, it's fighting a losing battle. You're fighting that's a battle you're not. That's been over.
You know that's been over a long time
ago. It's a wrong battle.
They'll do it. I mean, they do some of it. You get the highlights and stuff
you
like
get
that.
Some, and you get some good
in
stories.
In the morning, they've become Good Morning America for sports. Like I said, what do you think, Jay?
Well, wait a minute. Good Morning America. I have to watch it every day because I'm on ABC house. And guess what? You do get information there. You get some.
I'm sure Jesse Palmer's dropping news that you care
about. No, Jesse Palmer isn't on Good Morning America.
Isn't he on one of those shows?
No. No, Michael Strahan is. It's a Michael Strahan deal.
Okay. Wait, Jesse Palmer's made appearances on that show.
Well, appearances once in a great, great while. Anyway, so, no, but you do get, you actually get some information.
What's the last thing ESPN gave you? They're like, wow, I didn't know that.
And well, I guess, like, you well, get, look, I get stuff like that
about,
every day.
They're talking about Aaron Rodgers right now. As a, what to say, you know what? Hey, that's a story. Is Aaron Rodgers coming again, back against Carolina? That's a sports story, isn't it?
And you know what? That story dropped probably yesterday, and I saw that on their website. And I didn't need to go to SportsCenter for
No, I knew that too. But actually talking about it, maybe getting some insight from somebody that actually knows something, maybe talking to somebody in Green Bay. I don't know.
Have you seen
We can watch 12 straight minutes of Lonzo Ball with his 17 points.
Have you seen anyone yet from Green Bay, or are we just having highlights and probably a talking head talking over it? Have we heard anyone from the Milwaukee, whatever
I don't know.
The
you know
called?
Why? Because we got our fourth segment is gonna be Lonzo Ball. All Lonzo and LeVar all the time.
It wasn't about being you're old because you're upset. It's just you're doing it to yourself. You're old because you don't change the channel.
I can't change the channel.
You don't,
even
have to watch this. Why are you watching Sports in the morning? Why?
I don't have remote. It's the greatest.
Why
thing
are you
ever.
Watching Sports in the morning? What do they offer you? You come in here every day.
All right, give me an insight. What station should I watch in the morning?
There's nothing. It's awful. Oh, okay. All of it is awful.
Okay, so we have TV.
I know what station. NFL Network's Good Morning Football with my friends. They don't know me, but Pete Schrager and Kyle Brandt and Kay Adams and Nate Burleson.
If you're walking in here.
Their ratings have gone way up from where it used to be.
Well, because ESPN sucks. Because everybody goes, I'm disgusted.
You're like, I'm ready to get to work, and I hope SportsCenter gives me some news. That's the wrong approach. It's the wrong approach.
You'll get some. You have to
sift through all this crap.
You just have to know that it's you're going to get hyper-focused. I mean, everything has changed to hyper-focusing now because you find out what the horse is, and then you beat it past its death. And the fans, for whatever reason, I found this out with Tebow. I thought that for sure is beating a dead horse. And then Manziel, and in both situations, I'm like, who are these dum-dums who continue like to want to turn to the channel to see the same Tebow talk and the same Manziel talk
You're
over and
right
over?
Next to one.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
What?
That's not what I want. That's not what I want.
I know it's not what you want, but you know it's coming, and you haven't found a way to be like, you know what? I'm done with them.
Well, where are you supposed, honestly, in the hell are you supposed to go?
If you are of the opinion that what they're doing is terrible, there's nowhere to go. But that doesn't mean you need to subject yourself to
it over
and over
again. That's why so many people have gone to podcasts and on-demand programming and stuff like that. That's why Netflix is blowing up now.
Well,
for sports-wise, that's why fan-based sites, you know, by fans, for
guess
fans.
Guess what I was on all day yesterday? Netflix.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you also chill?
Huh?
Did you also chill?
No, I didn't chill. I convalesced. Okay.
I didn't know.
I had the chills. I had the chills. Okay.
You Netflix and had chills.
I had the chills. Yeah. Okay.
Watch out, Houston. That was a dad joke.
I think Nick Wright's show is on FS1 in the mornings if you want to watch that, JG. Yeah.
Here is another thing for all of us to take stock in. I'm going back to the civil rights here. The year was 1953 in a small cafe in Selma, Alabama. And you don't have to be on the same page with me, America. In fact, I doubt you will be.
Oh, what's this going to be?
Don't use Selma and Nick Wright together. Selma.
Why would I not do that?
Selma,
that's used all the time.
Stop it. Selma was big last night. You know what they did to Roy Moore? Selma was big last night.
Roy Moore took the L. How about Roy Moore lost? That was a shocker.
That shouldn't be a shocker.
It was
that
a
be
shocker.
Like, that should be like, this guy has no chance, and it turns out to be an upset.
I told him, I was in Alabama this weekend.
Yeah.
Roy Moore. I'm driving up and down. All kinds of signs. It's Mobile. You know, Roy Moore. So, although he didn't carry Mobile.
So I know, no. That's Mobile's the fancy Alabama. I go there for the Senior Bowl. They're the fancy people.
My daughter lived there it's not all that fancy.
Well, I only know the people inside the town square of Alabama, Phil Savage types and Patrick Wu. You know there's people in Alabama. You know, all the people in the South get a bad rap. Mississippi, Georgia, you think everyone's, you know, whatever. And there's plenty of people who aren't. They have an accent. That's it. And they're just good people. But you know how they had to be sitting there like, man, we cannot have Roy Moore get in here. We're gonna we're already taking so much crap forever. We can't have you guys, please. They're going to their church groups. Y'all, please get out and vote. Let's not do this. We ain't never going to hear the end of this.
You know how bad we'll look?
This is going to be the worst.
This is as bad as Auburn beating Alabama.
Yeah. Please, okay, y'all.
We just had that.
This is the second most embarrassing thing to happen in this in the last 30 days.
Look, Shug.
Behind Kerryon Johnson getting 100 on Nick Saban's defense.
Look, Shug. I mean, I know we had to suffer through Jalen Hurts in the Iron Bowl, but we will not suffer through Roy Moore.
Please, they're going to kill us nationally the same way they're going to for us sneaking into the number four spot just because, you know, because Georgia beat Auburn.
Yeah. Well,
actually, that wasn't it. It was Ohio State beating Wisconsin.
All right, 715 ESPN 97.5, 7378-03776. If you want to get in here, 73, John will get you in here on ESPN 97.5. I want to take a minute to tell you about Republic Harley Davidson. If you haven't seen if you have not seen this showroom, it is huge. With new and pre-owned Harley Davidsons, it glistens. I'm not even joking. If you are a bike person, this is the place to be. Open 7 days a week now during the holiday shopping season. You will feel welcome as soon as you come in the door. They really, really are nice people, right? They know you have a choice to choose. This is the Harley Davidson dealer, Republic Harley Davidson. It's even before you walk in the door, actually. When you're outside parking, you look at the rows and rows of bikes that are outside as well. It is unbelievable. It's a lifestyle. And if you love Harleys, this is the place to be. If you need riding lessons, all right, you got somebody that wants to learn to ride, they'll do that as well. The rider in you definitely wants more Harley Davidson gear as well. Clothing, riding gear, memorabilia. You got men's and women's apparel, riding jackets, helmets, gloves, boots, sunglasses, hats, everything, even robes and loungewear. I mean, the Harley people love Harley stuff. Come on out to the holiday party number 2 this Saturday. Food, music, door prizes, factory-approved promotions in all departments. Financing for everyone. Open 7 days a week during the holidays. 12707 Southwest Freeway in Stafford. Republic Harley Davidson is just outside the Beltway. Online at republichd.com.
This is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the Houston Texans, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Ken Giles will be fine. You know, I think in our sport, you know, we can get a little bit, narrow-minded when it comes to maybe what a guy's recently done and see that's going to automatically define him, probably both good or bad. And the longer look at Ken Giles, he's been a very effective reliever. He's a good closer.
I wonder if A.J. Hinch, that's Astros manager A.J. Hinch, talking about the recency phenomenon where you only think about what's happened most recently with players when you take into consideration how they – and he did pitch well at the end of the regular season, not so much what I like to call winning time in the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
But I just wish that me and AJ Hinch could be good friends because he seems like such a nice, calm. Like, I've got too much craziness, like you and Dell screaming at each other. It's just, I need some calm people around me. Like, you and Dell are always yelling at each other about where's the remote and stuff like that. And then my wife and the kids, and I just...
You got a gaggle of kids.
Yeah, I need calmness in my life.
That dude is calm.
AJ Hinch, if you can sit through... I didn't even see him make a sour face like he smelled a fart. He didn't do anything in that game 5.
I asked him about that. I said, you look calm. He said, you don't know me behind the scenes.
Well, I guess we don't, Dexter, because your face, you look like nothing's ever... here's what I would
killer?
Look like.
Serial
if
killer?
I.
Well, is that
just,
what you want to put on,
just a mask without the kill room.
But he does have the heart of gold.
He does have a heart of gold. Serial killer heart of gold, Dexter. That's one of the great redeeming qualities about Dexter is he figured out if I kill bad guys, I can kill and I can get rid of that. I mean, I kind of can do both. I can't have my cake and eat it too. It's a blood cake. But Yeah, so AJ Hinch, like, no offense to you or Dell or my wife or my kids or anybody, screaming on the Culture Map side. No offense to anybody.
No one's screaming over there.
Nah, they're fairly quiet.
No, they hate us because we talk loud.
We hate you.
Yes.
I'm on that team now. We're like, no. Ken Hoffman comes over, he's talking to me. I'm trying to wolf down food before I got to study, and he's like, so what do you think about these, this smash burger? What do you think about this? I'm like, I just want to, I'm sorry. Do you see me here culture mapping? And then I realize he's on my team, but then Ken's on my team, and he should be on this side. Yeah.
See, I can lock the outside of my door.
He could have locked. Can you lock my door? Can you lock me in when you leave, Ken? Thanks. Because for those who don't know, for some reason, whoever put the office together accidentally put the lock, the little lock you turn on the wrong side of the door. And I have at one point been locked into my office by Raheel and Dell.
You think it's accidental. I think they just heard rumors about you and they're just trying to keep you out of trouble.
But see, here's the thing. AJ Hinch would never do that. Here's what AJ Hinch would do. AJ Hinch would sit quietly across from me because me and AJ Hinch could probably just be best friends and have comfortable silences where we didn't have to fill the space with talking.
Ever.
Me and AJ could probably go check out movies together and without saying anything, he would just say, "Hey man, I got your movie ticket. Don't worry because I'm running late as always." And AJ's like, "Hey, I already got your movie ticket, man. Just come in here." "Oh, okay. Thanks, AJ." Or AJ's the guy who says, "Hey, let's just split this down the middle, even though I know I'm not drinking today and you are. Let's just do that. You get me on the other side." Thanks, AJ. There's no fuss, although with guys pretty much are always like that. That's
guys.
Women who are like,
"No, actually,
well, let me go ahead and itemize this."
No, actually, you just go, "I got this one and you get the next one."
Yeah, that's the easy one. Unless it's like...
Well, you still do that.
Dinner at $200.
You have to sometimes.
I just go... Card. Me and Solis go card, because we're with our significant others. Card, boom, down the middle, boom, and you move.
What about card roulette, where you give the waiter both cards, pick a hand?
Oh, I like that game. Well, see, you hang around with some scoundrels, some scallywags.
Yeah, yeah. Done that before with six cards and lost.
That's not a good one. That's not a good one. But
you just want to
be good friends with him.
Let's get him in here and see if you two don't click.
Yeah. I mean, I just feel like he would be the kind of calm person that I need in my life.
Because, as opposed to me and Doe?
Well,
I'm calm.
I didn't sound like it in the first second.
Did you come in here screaming?
And then fighting with Jose there when I came in?
Yeah.
I wasn't fighting with Jose.
That's what Jose said.
I was standing here, and Jose goes, "Hey, Dell, it would have been nice if you'd answer your phone."
He goes, "You don't have to be such a D." Because and then you say, "Not my fault you were late."
He yells at me because I didn't answer my phone because I was on the way in. And he goes, "It would have been nice." I don't care I don't care about you, whatever.
He sees the phone ringing, and you know what he does?
Actually, I didn't see it ringing.
And decline.
My phone's always on silent, so that's why I didn't get your call on Sunday.
Yeah.
Because my phone's already on silent.
Why I didn't get your call. Did he call back when he saw that he missed the call?
No, because you didn't leave a message, so I assume it wasn't that important.
You were sick. I was just trying to get a show together. Yeah, you were sick.
That's all.
And Dell's like, we'll talk about the balls. So big deal.
So if you loved it, if the show is so important, why don't you call back or leave a message?
Can we move on? Can we move on from your ball of hate?
We're back to me and AJ being best friends.
Yeah.
I would look like I smelled a bottle of farts. I would look like somebody farted in a bottle and I opened and went, "Oh God," if it was me on TV in game 5 with that bullpen.
With Ken Giles?
With everybody who pitched. It was everybody. Yeah. Across, I would have been like, they would have called me gaggy.
And you would have been throwing stuff down. Book.
Here's AJ Hinch. And I'm on Twitter and people are... I was mad at AJ for bringing in Giles in game 4 because I knew that was an automatic L. Right. I knew Big Sean was about to tell us that we were all about to take an L and we hope that we bounce back. But by game 5, I realized, here's Twitter, AJ's got to quit bringing, AJ can't do this. I'm like, I finally realized, what do y'all want AJ to do?
We are right. That's all he's got.
He's got to, like... Grown ass men need
to
do their job.
You want him to bring Aroldis Chapman in? He doesn't have him.
Do your job, grown men who are getting paid.
Right.
That's somebody all fine and good, but it doesn't excuse him doing it again this year.
Well,
upcoming season.
Now this is on the GM.
What about Tommy Hunter, Brian Shaw? These guys, if not signed, these guys are coming in. Yeah. Tommy Hunter, Brian Shaw, nice start. Okay, this is what it's looking like right now.
So if you don't think Jeff Luhnow understands, wow, that really sucked. Jeff Luhnow had to watch it too. I don't know if you guys know that. He saw it. He saw it. And oh, by the way, when Musgrove, Peacock, and
all starters.
And, no, when they're in the bullpen because there's no more room.
What do you mean when starters go to the bullpen?
When starters go to the
you
bullpen.
Mean Musgrove, Peacock, Morton, and McCullers and when they're in the, coming out of the pen.
And how about Martez? And oh, by the way, Paulino comes back.
I mean, he's a bunch of arms.
But he's going to be like 40 pounds.
You know what I want? You know what I want? I want Dotel, Lidge, Wagner. Yeah. I want like three where you say, well, we're in a tremendous amount of trouble. Like usually what the Yankees have and usually what the Dodgers have until the Astros ruin.
Why don't you just ask for Jennifer Lopez and Beyonce and Blake Lively? And you get that threesome, Lance.
Lively's okay.
No, she's pretty good.
She's okay. I see how you went Rainbow Coalition on me.
I also went.
Oh yeah, you got a little juicier. Hey, speaking of juicier, let's get
John in here on ESPN 97.5. Hey, John, what's going on?
Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah,
appreciate it.
First time I've called since the band got back together. Mm-hmm. I remember I listened to y'all the very first day when y'all took over for Ed Fowler. And anyway, I'm glad to see y'all back together. I wanted to talk about the state of sports reporting. I can't watch it anymore. I know you were talking about it earlier. One big example, you should go back and watch this. I was watching the Rigondeaux-Lomachenko fight this weekend. And after the fight, Stephen A. Smith, who knows nothing about boxing, me and Lance have forgot more about boxing than Stephen A. Smith ever knew. I mean, that guy's amazing. And he was debating with Teddy Atlas. I think it was Teddy Atlas. It was so contrived and so, I mean, Stephen A. Smith is doing the straw man argument, you know, and he was just arguing a fact that Teddy Atlas wasn't even, you know, contriving. And Teddy Atlas, you can tell the producers were just poking him. It was embarrassing for Atlas. I mean, I felt embarrassed for Atlas and Stephen A. Smith. I mean, it was horrible. And I only watched it because it was such a train wreck and it was just, this is what sports reporting has become. They don't report facts or give a legible real opinion. It's just shock factor, and it's just I'm done with.
Well,
it.
I don't know if you've seen. I mean, it's everything now though. CNN with the double boxes.
It's all opinion.
It's not newsmaker. It's people's opinions about things.
Well, you know, we saw this. It started with one of the things that started was Around the Horn. Where you got old, you know, newspaper writers who are all going out of business. Plaschke was on there. All these guys. And they started becoming the talking head. Let's do this argument. Which is like sports talk. You know, it's not. Like at the time, you think, well, it's not that. But that's what started them down the road of let's do. And then it was PTI. And let's do argument-based stuff.
Yes. And now it's Skip and Shannon and Stephen A. and what's his name and
it's Nick back and forth.
But Chris, whatever.
You know why they do it? It rates.
No, not really.
People are watching them. They watch those shows.
I don't know. I saw. Travis put it out there that Bonanza beat Skip and Shannon.
Well, Fox Sports 1 had issues for a long time, getting people to know where they are. But. Hey, you know what? Speaking of know where they are, how about my friend Craig? Well, we have my friend Craig DeSurf, my good friend Craig DeSurf. We're pulling him up right now. My good friend Craig DeSurf is with us right now and bring him up. What's up, Mr. Craig?
Good morning, Lance and John.
How you doing, buddy?
Everything's great. How are you?
I'm good. Well, I'm coming out there to see you. I'm going to switch out from one truck to the other. And obviously, you know, known you for years when you were here in Houston. Now you're in Angleton. That was not a hard drive. You joke about the Camelot and cornfield and Camelot. What's your joke that you make?
I beg your pardon?
What's the joke you make about Camelot and cornfields? Or that place is not
there. Camelot and cornfield, basically that it's a little piece of heaven out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, but it's really not that far away. And here's the other thing, what you're doing for Houston. A lot of Houston buyers, and you will even valet, if you're too busy to come out, you guys valet the car out to people here in Houston or Sugar Land or the surrounding areas.
Yeah, actually, we're picking up a car right now, bring it into work.
That's what you're doing right now?
Hey, we're on the way right now to the store. We're picking up a one-year-old Denali for maintenance, free, dropped off a complimentary Drac unit for the customer to drive. Of course, we washed the car and Well, sign, depending on who you are, get a little bit of free gas.
What?
What?
That's what you're doing. Well, you know what? I've driven the Yukon XL, the GMC Acadia. You've got the Chevy Silverado, which I'm driving right now. Buick Enclave. When it comes to pickups, SUVs, and crossover vehicles, Craig, no one's beating you guys out there with price. Nobody.
Yeah, nobody. We're very competitive. We have that big market that we had in Houston at our former store. And basically, you know, we try to give it country club atmosphere and neighborhood prices.
There it is right there. That's my man, Craig DeSerf. Go out there and see him or give him a call today. Go online and check out their entire stock. They've got all their inventory out there, and you can see what kind of specials they have going on through the different different GMC and Chevy and the Buick, all right there at GulfCoast.net. That's GulfCoast.net. Righteous, betting on me is the right risk, even in a f-ing crisis. I'm never on some switching sides. I switch gears to the night shift, blacking out because I'm in life. ESPN 97.5. Houston is all systems go.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I think we're going to address a couple of our needs, mostly in the pitching side. When that happens, where that happens, will be determined. But we're going to consistently try to throw a good reliever or a good starter out there every day. That's what's gotten us successful.
As AJ, so Tommy Hunter went to the Phillies. It was hot, they were hot on him. The rumor was Hunter and Brian Shaw. But if you gave me my choice, I would take Brian Shaw over Tommy Hunter.
Yes.
Tommy Hunter just apparently just wanted the money. He went to the Phillies.
Why do we have Wendy, not your Wendy, yeah. Wendy, the other Wendy, radio listener, saying she wants Nick Wright to his old Sesame Street ass falls down some stairs. What? That's not.
That is ugly.
Sesame Street ass, I think.
She calling him Gonzo?
I don't know. Ask her.
Because of that hook? What? That's crap. By the way.
If you follow on ESPN 97, at ESPN 97.5,
yes.
Our radio, they just sent out a page that has a look back at some of Klein's Christmas parties. We're having that party December 22nd. If you've never been, you can see what eggnog, I don't know if they're showing, I've sent pictures of actual vomiting into the trash can. I don't know if that actually made the page.
It has to.
We've got a tremendous amount of, and that's just while we were at 1560. We had also started at 610. It got more lit at 1560.
Yeah.
But you can see what it basically entails. You can see videos of the onside kick into the bushes at the Palm that got the Palm to the next year put out like 300 cones to try to take up parking spots, and then Alonzo Highsmith went out and just basically threw all their cones into the street.
And you know what they said about that?
What?
Nothing.
nothing. You can see the 40-yard dash in the rain. I forgot we did that. Pass protection drills, which are famous. That's all in there.
Is that reminiscent?
Yeah.
We're telling people to see if they want to come join us on the 22nd. This is what it's about.
And I was over there at Klein's, and we were in the bushes trying to get the onside kick for a little $20 watch. It was a swatch, and I got bloody. And then he got into it. He was muddy. Then a guy broke his wrist, though.
Yeah, he did break
his wrist. He didn't sign the release, though.
Well.
All right, here's some.
Stay low. Keep pat level low.
Here's some stuff. Here's some stuff that quick hits that I want to let's talk about quickly around the NFL. What's the deal? Have you seen the stats, Brady, with and without Gronk?
Yeah, it's not as good.
Not nearly as good.
It's really bad. Yeah. As a matter of fact, it was, 3 years ago when everyone thought Brady, and myself included, were like, man, what the hell is up with Tom Brady? This is when he didn't have Gronk. And I thought, maybe he's so tied to Gronk that he's just not the same guy.
He's not the same guy.
And he really is. And then Gronk came back, and Brady was great, and they won a Super Bowl.
So, right. And, well, Gronk came back, and he was hobbled in that one Super Bowl, and they lost. he would remember. And actually, they threw the Hail Mary and they sent a hobbling Gronk down the field and trying to catch a Hail Mary, which was ridiculous. And yet they thought that was the best option, even though he could barely walk. If Gronk comes back this week, you know what? I like Pittsburgh a lot if Gronk's not playing this weekend. Yeah. But if Gronk is back.
Isn't he just coming back from a suspension? So
yeah.
He is playing, right?
Yeah, he is playing. But he's also hobbled, isn't he?
He's had some issues this year, but I think he's okay to play, though.
Yeah.
I don't think there's that issue.
Isn't
it strange, though, that Tom Brady has fallen in love with Gronk so much so that it kind of ruins him when Gronk's not on the field? Like, dude, this used to be the guy who used to get other guys paid. He was so good that he could turn anybody into a player. And I'm not sure that's the case anymore with Tom Brady. He's gone through some wide receivers now who have not. Gronk is the constant, but Tom Brady has gone through a variety of wide receivers who haven't been able to stick with him. That kind of flies in the face of the narrative is that Tom Brady can make everyone better all the time.
Marcus Mariota has already thrown 5 more interceptions this year than last. He is not turning out to be. This was supposed to be the year that he and Jameis turned a huge corner. A lot of people had
year three, yeah. I thought Jameis was going to end up being a.
And a lot of people thought Tampa was going to be a good football
too.
Team.
Derek Carr.
Guess what? They're not.
Derek Carr
as well.
It was a disappointing year for the folks like myself who thought Derek Carr, Jameis Winston, these two teams and these two talents. Now, what's going to happen? This always happens when you see all the talent, but it just doesn't materialize. It almost always happens the next year. Like, I can see Tampa's going to end up going and getting Bradley Chubb, or they're going to go get a pass rusher. They're going to get a running back. You're going to see Oakland just get or Las Vegas. Who are they next year? Are they Las Vegas next year? Not yet. Okay.
No.
They're going to go, they'll probably tighten up a cornerback position and maybe one of their offensive line spots. And they're going to, it will be, unless Derek Carr is not who we thought he was. And in that case, well, then they got some problems. And maybe Jameis isn't who we thought he was. I don't know. But my guess is that this will be a road bump, and at least one, if not both of them, will come back strong next year. I think the Raiders surprised me more. I really thought 10 wins plus this year for the Raiders.
How about that? How about Derek Carr's completion percentage is identical to last year, but he's thrown 10 fewer touchdown passes and 4 more interceptions.
Well, go look at his yards per attempt too. He's turned into check down Charlie.
Yep. And Jameis has fumbled a career high 11 times this year.
Man, those fumble things are real. Like, I look at
those
stats.
That's Tom Savage.
Yeah. Oh no, they don't accidentally happen. Like, you don't have big hands to hang on the ball. You don't have strong hands. You have issues with whatever the case may be. That hand size for quarterbacks, teams really, really pay attention to that. Also, did you watch on TV? I know you were in New Orleans, right? Were you on New Orleans Sunday?
Yep. No, I was back.
Okay. So did you see when they showed Mark Schlereth trying to take the football? Was that crazy how big DeAndre Hopkins' hands are?
Yeah, and then he fumbles. Almost right after that.
That's right. Well, it's because he carries it out.
Well, he's holding it with one hand, and because he thinks he can. He's got the one strongest hand in the world, and then it's knocked out. When you're in traffic, dude, I know you have the longest hands ever.
Just tuck it on.
Tuck the ball. I mean, that was a killer. That was a killer fumble.
I don't know. Odell Beckham.
The Texans won that game. Good Lord.
Odell Beckham will forever get all the love because of his catch. And, and mostly just that catch and then all the pregame stuff where Odell shows you he can catch it like this. Nope. Odell Beckham can't sniff the nuts of DeAndre Hopkins when it comes to making these catches in games. In games, DeAndre Hopkins catches are insane.
Yeah.
Odell Beckham's like, man, have you seen what I did before the game when I was catching it from the jugs gun?
And kickoffs. He catches kickoffs like that.
Boom.
One-handed. Okay, great. Now,
I think Hop has the best in-game hands of anybody in the league. I don't want to hear about Odell because what about that catch? Odell.
And
great.
And sideline.
Here's 30
feet.
Of them. Yeah, here's 30 of them where DeAndre Hopkins is actually grabbing the ball, dragging his feet in ground. That one where that was insane because he started dragging his right foot early. Like, do you understand the awareness that takes? Those are instincts that only very few people have. It's a feel that you either have it or you don't have it.
Yep.
Man, I love DeAndre Hopkins, and he's not fast.
No.
He can't. He separates with physicality and push-offs.
What?
Small little push-offs.
No, what now?
Not so small sometimes.
No, sometimes he gets offensive pass interference.
He gets called, and he's just indignant. He's just like,
what?
He's like a Spur, San Antonio Spur being called for an offense for a player control. Like, he goes straight Manu Ginobili with the...
I wish I had DeAndre's hands to open up one of these pajama grams, to open up a hoodie footy.
You could just grab the box and rip it.
I wasn't talking about that. I was talking about the full zip front.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Lit.
Yep. Guys, Christmas is coming this year. It's a win-win. Give her something that'll make her feel hot and heat up your holiday. Super warm, world-famous Hoodie Footy by Pajama Graham. Because let's face it, it's hard to be hot when she's freezing cold. The Hoodie Footy is the ultimate solution. It combines the warmth of a hoodie with the coziness of footy pajamas. Head-to-toe warmth means she'll be cozy in no time. You can find all Hoodie Footy styles at PajamaGraham.com. Each Hoodie Footy has a drawstring hood and a full zip front. Imagine getting open that, especially if you opt for the sweet and sexy gift set. It includes a Hoodie Footy and sexy midnight fantasy. Buy both today at PajamaGraham.com and save $40. Plus, you don't have to wrap because every PajamaGraham includes free gift packaging. Christmas delivery is guaranteed. Visit PajamaGraham.com, 1-800-GIVE-PJs, 1-800-GIVE-PJs. Visit PajamaGraham.com. Tell them I sent you.
Warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. John Lance Dell, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776.
Did you like that World Series win? Were you happy with it? Were you happy with being a World Series team?
Yeah.
You know one of the reasons it happened? Pitch tipping.
Yeah, Yu Darvish. Okay. But I'm...
Well, let's tell the story real quick. Yu Darvish was tipping pitches in the World Series. Sports Illustrated's Tom Verducci included a notable nugget in his articles on Monday from the winter meetings that confirmed Darvish tipped his pitches. According to Verducci, the player said, he talked to an unnamed Astros player, he said, the player said, it worked like this. Darvish holds the ball at his side when he gets a sign from the catcher. Whether he re-grips or not as he brings the ball into his glove was the tip-off. Whether he was going to throw a slider, cutter, or a fastball. We knew the first time we faced him in Game 3, the player said. The next time in Game 7, it was mostly the same, but then it was more about just having a great game plan going in. We knew he was going to try and go back to a slider to find it. We had a great approach. Now, they're telling you right now, right? They're telling you right now that he was tipping his pitches. But you know what's funny is, do you remember what the talk was during the World Series about how the baseballs were different? And maybe the baseballs were different and more slick, but that's one of the reasons you couldn't throw sliders. How about Yu Darvish? Darvish was tipping his slider, and the Astros were sitting slider, and they were mashing him around the yard.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know what you're going to say, and it's the same thing that puzzles me, although he's not in the same. He's in the National League and the Astros in the American League, but... why would you ever tell if you get a tell?
Unless he's on your team. He comes to your team, which there was a rumor that the Astros were on him.
What was the rumor that, like, Roger Clemens wouldn't
even talk to hitters,
right? Not just friendly, but they wouldn't talk shop at all.
No. Roger Clemens.
On his team.
His teammates. He wouldn't talk to him about baseball because at some point they might be on another team and he might have to face them. So he wasn't going to give them any tips.
Because wouldn't you love if you're the Astros,
that's a different era though.
But if you're Justin Verlander, who's kind of an old school guy a little bit.
Yeah.
But Justin Verlander, wouldn't it be a great idea if Justin Verlander's sitting there talking to Springer? Here's how I approached you. When I approach you, Carlos Correa, this is what I see. This is what our book says on you. Like, wouldn't that be invaluable information for the hitters to know?
I think most guys do that. Roger Clemens was the exception. I think guys will help their own teammates
when they've been traded
or whatever. Something. And, you know, and if you see, I mean, who was it was tipping? There was a tipping pitches, Astros tipping pitches story before. And I forget, and again, I think they were blabbermouths about it. I would never tell you, Darvish, that's information that you keep to yourself. Then if other teams don't pick it up, but every time you face you, Darvish, you've got that on him.
Right.
Now, if he comes to your team, you go, hey, dude, stop. I think it was Brad Lidge tipping pitches that...
Yeah. Brad Lidge was tipping his breaking pitch or something.
Yeah. He was tipping his pitches as well.
Billy Wagner was tipping the fact that he was always going to throw fastballs 100% of the time by actually pitching.
Now, Billy's never going to talk to me again. Okay. He got that old music, though? So, Billy Wagner is on our show. Mm-hmm. It was in
his book
in the early 2000s, I believe. And I was, I was doing the pre and post game shows for the Astros. I was at spring training. I was in the locker room every night. Billy came on the show. I said, hey, Billy Cuppa doing an interview. Yeah, okay. So Billy comes on. And then as soon as Billy leaves the show, Lance goes, man, dude, I wish he'd get another pitch. I mean, Billy can be really great. I mean, he's good. Don't get me wrong. He's good.
Need a curve.
He needs a second pitch.
Yep.
And this is right after the interview. Billy didn't talk to me for the rest of the year. He was so pissed off. I swear, I was like, what the bleep? I had no idea what the deal was. Because after he was done with the interview, he listened to us.
Oh, so he was on the phone?
He was on the phone, driving in. And then and then he listened to right after the interview. And
he follows me on Twitter. You want me to see if I can get him on the show now and make peace?
Yeah. All right. So the next spring training, I was like, Billy, what is your deal? Man, I go on your show, and then immediately afterwards, you guys were... I said, whoa, dude.
It was me.
First of all, that was an opinion about you needing a second, and it wasn't even me.
I know.
And you're on me. And he was like, he felt bad about it.
And one time,
just because you said that again, he'll never talk to me again.
Seth Payne dropped an F-bomb on you one time in a post-game show.
Yeah, yeah. And then he came to work here, and then he abandoned us for 6'10". How'd that work out?
No loyalty.
Pretty good for him, I think.
People aren't loyal, Dell.
Yeah, like Dell?
I hate when people aren't loyal.
What do you mean like Dell?
Well,
I was forcibly removed from here. That's why I had to go work someplace else. He left on his own.
That is kind of true.
Removed for attitude problems. Imagine that.
Right.
That's the sell that John is putting out there.
And what did Dave say?
Attitude. I really don't care what Dave said because I wasn't the only one to go that week. It wasn't like it was just me.
No, you were the only one for an attitude.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what it was.
I'm sure
it wasn't trying to. That's John is suggesting something. That's why Lance is laughing. I don't buy into that.
I do.
But John's playing a card. That's all I'm going to say.
I do.
John's offering you a card to play.
And I'm not going to do it.
He's like, would you like this? I didn't say it here.
He's like, Dell, would you like this trump card, sir?
Don't think I didn't say it here.
Did you fight for him at all, John, or you just let him just leave?
No, I brought him back here. Took him out to lunch afterwards. I was like, don't worry. You'll be back.
So I like the way that you show
change your attitude.
I like the way that you show your...
Part of the reason I'm here is because of my attitude. What are you talking about? Change my attitude.
Yeah.
If I was like, hey John, your you're awesome. Go Astros. I'd be really successful
that's
here.
That's what you do.
Yeah.
Hey, are you guys feeling like a little bummed out? Otani has an elbow problem. Shows that UCL in his pitching elbow is about to snap, and he's going to get Tommy John.
Yep.
How you feel about that?
Well, I feel fine about it as long as he's not an Astro.
Screw that puss.
Yeah.
He want to talk about. Oh, I don't want to go to a big market. He goes to freaking Los Angeles. Okay. What the hell? That's not. Oh, I don't want to go to New York. It's too big a market. I don't want to go to the Astros because they're winners. I don't want to go. I want to go somewhere and lose in a small market.
Let me tell you something. If you come to Houston and you're a free agent, and a lot of free agents in every sport have found this out, you don't get hassled like you do in other places.
No.
The media is soft as flour cakes here. You know, there's no, what is Sarah Barshop, whatever, from ESPN? Is she going to go after you if you're a Texans? Are you going to have Jonathan Fagan up your ass if you're with the Rockets? Is Kaplan for, if you're at Astros, going to write
Brian McTaggart?
You're fine. You're good here.
I hope all of you guys hear that. Lance just called you all soft.
You're good here.
Well, guess what?
That's true.
All y'all
this
soft.
This is just one of the softest media markets in the country.
But frankly, it's also about just not being an a-hole to try to create. Because when you have multiple newspapers, whatever, or you just have a-hole. Frankly, I don't think there's a lot of like angry try to, gotcha radio hosts here either. So it's actually a friendly market if you're a free agent to come here. It really is. And that's actually not a slam of Houston. It's actually a benefit to players for sure.
There is. If you're Daryl, you got Josh. Right.
My buddy Chris Ballard.
Man, your bias has just leaked through, John.
Why are you limited to Josh? He has issues with you, too.
No, he had issues with me.
Man,
because
your bias is
because I questioned his team's defense, okay? Because and that was my bias. I was watching it with my human eyes. You guys give up a lot of points. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I got Darryl,
not this year, though.
Me and Daryl had beef one time when I brought up and then he threw some sabermetric term at me that had me just completely twisted. But
Charlie had beef.
I brought up Cashling.
Yeah.
Hey, wait Steve. A minute now, see? So Daryl,
I thought you were smarter than that, see? Hey.
All I mentioned to Daryl was the splits. Home and away, three-point shooting Ryan Anderson. Middle of the season, it was like way different. It was 42% and 26%. It was like substantially different three-point shooting percentage. And I brought it up, and he said that's a muddling, data muddling, or he said something. And yeah. I'm like,
something
what is...
Went-
And he tried to explain it to me.
Over your head.
It went way over my head. Basic data dredging. Basically what it means is trying to find
numbers,
data that you try to screw with the data to try to make a point. I didn't make a point. I literally just read the splits.
How is that screwing with the data?
It wasn't screwing with the data. Daryl was just trying to mind trick me like he does general managers. Yes. But I'm not here to get mind tricked, Daryl. All I did was look at splits. I'm not smart enough to go into multiple sabermetric. I just go to splits and say home and away. Boom. I'm not data dredging. And it stayed that way the whole year. Like Ryan Anderson couldn't shoot at home and shot great on the road. I don't know why. And I was just trying to ask Daryl, like, is there a reason? Have you ever seen this before? And he's like, you're data dredging. And I was just like, we got to let you go because I don't know what this means. I'm on Wikipedia
page. Going way deep in the.
And
no.
then I tried to explain it. Later on, like in the weekend, Daryl had been listening, and he goes, "You are butchering the explanation of data dredging."
All right, 7:59, ESPN 97.5.
That's like when oh my God, Charlie Cashley got on Max asking about Eric Molds. Like, are you going to look to sign a free agent? Eric Molds is available now, or Peerless Price, somebody like that. Hey, now wait a minute. Now you know the deal with salary cap. How are you going to ask me that question on the show here? All right. Come on, be better than that. Like,
I thought you were smarter than that, Lance.
I thought you were smarter than that to ask me about a guy who's a street free agent, who's unconnected, who we might be able to sign. Like, what are you?
What?
sorry, Billy Wagner. Sorry you got so mad at me.
Stop. Don't say Billy Wagner again.
And why do you have a GM show anyway?
I haven't talked to him in 12 years, and I said he won't talk to me again now
Every time Charlie's on. Charlie, what do you think about this? Hey, that's a question for Dom, see? Well, Dom's on our afternoon show.
Right.
So, okay.
What?
So, can you answer this question? Hey, I can't answer. See? Then why do we have you on every week for an hour?
Because.
For a freaking hour,
Charlie. Don't
ask
about for street free agents either.
We weren't allowed to ask about it. By the end of it, it's like.
Well.
I remember that hour.
Yeah.
It wasn't great.
It wasn't
no,
great.
No. So what do you think about what do you think about President Bush?
So you guys have two wins this year. And they brought in Dan Reeves to consult. What's your thoughts on that? Hey, see, we're not supposed to talk about that, okay? Well, we'll let you go, Charlie.
Let's talk about your marble. Let's talk about your outdoor patio, your outdoor kitchen. Let's talk about you and getting that, whatever it is, fixed. How about that new countertop? How about that bathroom vanity? Jeff Aronoff is here for you. You know what? Set it up, the meeting, where he's going to give you the estimate on what it's going to cost you. After the holidays, okay. If you can do it in a hurry and you're going to have some holiday parties, you're having people over, you need something. You need a new bathroom vanity in a hurry. You need a new countertop in a hurry. Hey, we had some countertop issues. It was like a day, and he had it done, did all the trimming on it, and it looked unbelievable. He also did our outdoor kitchen. He's excellent. You're looking for somebody that's going to come to your home and take care of that business. All you got to do is get to Absolute Marble and Granite, 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822. Tell Jeff Aronoff you heard it right here. Get 20% off this holiday season. You need any of this stuff? It's 713-880-2822.
ESPN 97.5.